We have the second biggest bank failure of all time to report this morning, but rest assured, customers of First Republic, all your money is tucked safely into the biggest bank in the country now. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It is now a third bank to collapse this volatile spring for the financial services industry. First Republic Bank, a medium-sized firm, was scooped up over the weekend by J.P. Morgan Chase in a deal worked out by federal and state regulators. First Republic has most of its customers on the East and West Coasts, and many of them are relatively affluent. Experts see this as the tail end of the March banking madness, a third shoe dropping after Silicon Valley and Signature Banks failed 7 weeks ago. That is to say, it's perhaps not the beginning of a new cascade of failures. Eric Gordon joins us now from Ann Arbor. He's a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Good morning to you.
Hello, David.
First of all, very important, those who kept deposits of any size in First Republic and hadn't taken them out in the last few weeks, their money is now over at J.P. Morgan, the biggest bank. Rest easy, your money's over there.
Yeah, no problem. And in fact, you can go to your Republic Bank branch, which as of this morning will be a J.P. Morgan Chase branch.
Nice of J.P. Morgan to step in here. The CEO says the government asked and they did. They're aware that a bunch of money is coming its way to help with this, with the costs from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, right?
Yeah, they're going to get a backstop on losses, a $50 billion loan to do the deal, and they expect to recognize a one-time gain of $2.6 billion. So it's not entirely a matter of civic duty.
And so will people now conclude it's good to have huge, too-big-to-fail banks around to help when the going gets tough?
Yeah, I mean, J.P. Morgan Chase is now too big to be too big to fail. And, you know, it runs against current government policy. Current administration doesn't like big. They're going after big. They say, you know, these institutions already are too big. In fact, this deal makes J.P. Morgan so big that it needs approval from the OCC, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, to even go through.
Now, we're talking about bank regulation. We heard from both the Federal Reserve and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation last week criticizing themselves for not doing enough to supervise the two other banks that failed 7 weeks ago. Here we are again, right? So they're going to beef that up?
They need to make some changes. I mean, it seems to be systemic. The regulators, the people that we rely on to oversee these banks, don't seem to see very much.
Let's talk about causes for a second here. First Republic customers with texts and headlines on their smartphones started saying, I'm pulling out my money. What about you? And so all these deposits fled. But also something else, right? First Republic was also on the wrong side of one of the great challenges of our time, right? Interest rates are rising, and what should have been safe holdings of government bonds weren't so safe if you need the money in a hurry.
First Republic not only had safe government bonds, but it had a lot of really jumbo real estate loans. Because remember, its clients tend to be really wealthy people. So they have these big real estate loans. And the bank made a fatal choice. Instead of making the loans and reselling them to other investors, like most banks do, First Republic held on to those loans, and just like the government securities, their value plummeted.
Now, Eric, if we step back from this story a bit, banks are supposed to be solid, safe, granite-like protectors of our money. I mean, they have big columns out front that look very safe. How do we let them get risky like this?
You know, we've let banks go from being those safe bedrock institutions to being sort of speculators. They're sort of speculating on interest rates. They're using a lot of leverage. They're really maximizing profits, not safety. And you wonder whether they have wandered from their essential purpose and need to be reined in some way.
Always good to talk to Eric Gordon. He's a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, David.
J.P. Morgan Chase stock is up more than 3% in pre-market trading now. Stock index futures are a little changed, with the Federal Reserve likely to raise interest rates again this week.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
There are new data on the way today on construction spending. Higher interest rates might drag these numbers down. We'll see. And builders are still having trouble finding the workers they need. Marketplace's Elizabeth Troval reports.
If you ask non-residential builders about the industry's major stressors, workforce shortages tops the list.
Most of our members will tell you they got more work than they can actually build, largely because they don't have enough people to do the work.
That's Brian Termail with Associated General Contractors of America. He says shortages are most acute in boots and a hard hat jobs like
roofers, concrete masons, stone masons, pipe fitters.
All while the government invests in infrastructure and manufacturing projects that will cost taxpayers more to build, says Anibon Basu, CEO of Sage Policy Group consulting firm.
We don't have enough workers to do any of this. And so what we're doing is very expensive to accomplish.
He says one way to widen the pool of payrolled construction workers is immigration reform, so companies can train up the undocumented people working in construction without skirting the law. Stan Merrick of Merrick Construction agrees.
We would take probably, in Texas, half of the undocumented workers out of the shadows, put them on jobs where they pay payroll taxes, receive training, safety, workman's comp, and elevate the lives of those workers.
Of course, for Congress, immigration reform is a tall order. I'm Elizabeth Troval for Marketplace.
It's May Day, right? But yesterday, April 30th, was the 30th anniversary of the World Wide Web. It'll never catch on. Who needs that? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.